96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. On this Political Tuesday, we are talking about two critical issues, your vote and your money. There's a lot of talk about boycotts and get out the vote movements in the wake of last week's police shootings. How do politics and economics intersect? What message might you send by where and how you spend your money? What are you prepared to do now? Well, joining me to talk about that is Dr. Elsie Scott, founding director of the Ronald Walters Leadership and Public Policy Center here at Howard University. And that's the question I'm asking tonight for our listeners. In the wake of last week's horrific shootings, the killings of police officers and black men, what are you prepared to do? Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can also comment on my Facebook page at facebook.com/HaroldFisherWHUR or follow us on Twitter at DailyDrumWHUR. Dr. Scott, good to see you again. Thanks for joining me.
Good to see you.
Okay, so it's only, it hasn't been a week since the Dallas shootings. Indeed, it hasn't been a week since the shooting in Louisiana or Minnesota. But a lot of people are frustrated. A lot of people feel helpless. And we've seen the protests. But beyond the protests, how can people be impactful?
Well, I think there are a number of ways, and it depends on where you are. You know, a number of people are criticizing people for marching, criticizing people for doing various actions. But I think the action you take, the most important thing is to do something. Some people will write letters. Some people will march on the city council. Other people are planning economic boycotts. Some people are writing letters to the editor. Other people are blogging. And other people are just meeting, trying to figure out what to do. And other people are sitting down with their children, trying to help their children assess what is the meaning of all of this.
But you talk about boycotts, and there is a plan in Louisiana to boycott the Mall of Louisiana. There was a mall in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, that was boycotted, and there were pictures on social media about it shutting down early because black people just were not buying there. But this isn't the Montgomery boycott era. The world has changed. Do boycotts work now?
Yes, I think boycotts can work. I think when we look at Baton Rouge, I'm from Louisiana, mm-hmm. spent a lot of time in Baton Rouge, graduated from Southern University, that the economic situation in Louisiana is in such bad shape. The previous governor stripped education and health care of a lot of the resources. And so I think this was just a tipping point for people in Louisiana, the shooting of Mr. Sterling. And now they are looking at this as a larger issue as to how can we take our dollars and make our government hear us, since they have not heard us from boycotts or marches, rallies. And so they feel like this sort of is a final resort.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about the intersection of politics and economics in the wake of last week's police-related shootings. My guest is Dr. Elsie Scott, founding director of the Ronald Walters Leadership and Public Policy Center here at Howard University. Tonight we're asking, what are you willing to do to make a difference in the wake of last week's tragedies? Let's go to Damien. Damien calling from Northwest. Damien, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi. I was just calling to say that, you know, the best thing as far as protecting yourself from the different police officers or anything that's going on, when you stop, just dial 911. They have to take that call, and they have to take that call until the police officer or somebody gets there.
Well, Damien, I appreciate that, but the question is, what kind of social action are you willing to take to make a change in how, for example, police interact with black people when there are those traffic stops or any other kinds of encounters in the black community?
Well, we need. Well, my first thing would be to educate us as black men and us as police officers to be able to communicate and know your community, know the areas that you're going to, know the, some of the people in those areas. That way you can relate to them better.
Okay, Damien, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Kevin, calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling, Kevin. What's on your mind?
Hi, how are you? Actually, my name is Ken.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Actually, I've been a police officer for over 24 years now. I started in Camden, New Jersey, and I walked the beat for about the first year and a half. And although I only did it for about 3 years, I still maintain a strong relationship with a lot of the members of the community. But I actually wanted to speak about marching, and marching is an actual verb of action. It's continuous. I think a lot of times when some of these issues happen, that they are quickly forgotten for the next unfortunate issue. But marching.
Gosh, we lost Ken, and he was making a great point. Ken, give us a call back if you can. Dr. Scott, talk to me about marching, because we've seen all kinds of comments on social media, and there have been all of these discussions that some would argue that the days of marching, just marching, are over, because the powers that be can say, yeah, yeah, we hear you, and then move on.
And I agree with that, that one of the reasons why people are talking about economic boycotts now is because they have been marching for 2 years, and they have not really been heard.
Some people say marching for
right, longer than that.
60 years, but no longer than that.
But specifically around the police issues, many people have been marching around these issues, and people have not heard them. And so now they are realizing if march is not tied to a political action, if a march is not tied to an economic action, then it may not have any kind of impact.
Talk to me about that. You said if marching is not tied to political action, take me down that road when you're talking about political action.
I think, you know, if you even go back to the Civil Rights era, Martin Luther King and the others who were marching were not just marching. They were also tied that to, we want you to integrate the bus counties. We want you to give us the right to vote. And so it was tied with something that they wanted government to do, and they were prepared to stay out there until that time. Now it seems that just marching without going to march on City Hall, without going to the mayor's office almost and sitting in sometimes, it may not have an impact. In Baton Rouge, the mayor has been noticeably absent. I don't know whether you've seen some of the stuff on social media. There's even him in a clown suit, almost, people are posted saying, where's the mayor? He's hiding, he's in camouflage, etc. Because they feel like their black mayor in Baton Rouge has not been present and has not been addressing the issue. He's not called the family. And so they may feel like, you know, if we march, what good will it do? He's a, quote, lame duck mayor, because he can't run again for mayor. He's stepping down after this term.
Interestingly enough, on the day of the day after the shooting of Alton Sterling, the president of the Baton Rouge NAACP called for the mayor's resignation. Certainly an emotional reaction, but now when you add that kind of context to it, and now that the mayor is not seen, that may be one of those steps of political action that could galvanize that community.
Right. The mayor was here in Washington, D.C. on the day of the shooting, and many people in Baton Rouge feel like he should have come home and dealt with the matter at that time, but he felt like he should stay in Washington and try to get some money for the city. Mm-hmm. But they say even now he is not called the family, and that's the least that they would expect, unlike the mayor in Dallas, how he has performed since the shooting of the Dallas police officers.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight we're asking, what are you willing to do with your money, with your politics, perhaps even with your vote in the wake of last week's horrific police-related shootings? Let's go to Clarence. Clarence, calling from Baltimore. Thanks for calling, Clarence. What's on your mind?
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
I think we need to look inward.
What do you mean by that?
Well, we don't pay enough attention to the vote, I think. I mean, when presidential elections come up, sure, we're there. But what about the local elections, the mayors and attorney generals that are up for office, the sheriffs? We're not there. We're not representing ourselves. And then we find ourselves underrepresented when we need them the most. Then there are issues like education, which is, I mean, sorely lacking when it comes to the most disadvantaged of us. People still feel as if they cannot get to the opportunities for education, and so they feel discouraged in a city. They feel like they have no choice.
Well, Clarence, thank you so much for your input. Your thoughts about that, looking inward, Dr. Scott, when he's talking about perhaps thinking about how you're voting on a local level and dealing with other educational issues.
He makes a great point about our local elections. I think too many people focus on the presidential election. I mean, it's important, but the people who impact you from day to day, we need to be looking at our city council people, our mayors, our district attorneys. If you go back and look at after the 60s, when you had a real turbulent period, very similar to this back in the 60s, that black people strategically elected black mayors whose platforms said they would change police departments. So you had people like Coleman Young elected in Detroit. You had Maynard Jackson elected in Atlanta. They ran on a strong position that we're going to clean up the police brutality in the black community.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you can't get through, please keep trying. We're going to continue to take phone calls even after 7:30. Let's go to Devontae calling from West Virginia. Quickly, Devontae, what's on your mind?
Hi, sir. How are you?
Doing just fine.
Good. I just wanted to chime in. You know, being a young black man in this country at 22 years old, it's really sad to see the things that are going on in our country. You know, and I think it starts with educating, you know, African Americans, regardless of age, of what power we have. We definitely need to take a standpoint and realize that we do have the power to elect these officials into office that are responsible to represent all of us. And I think what we need to do as a group is we need to collectively provide a platform where we can all come together and be safe, you know, and educate one another on what we can do. And if that's boycotting, you know, that's what it's going to take to get ahead. You know, I had grandparents who grew up during the civil rights era. And I remember my grandmother telling me stories about how marching for freedom and for civil rights is what it took. And if that's what it takes, that's what we have to do.
Well, Devontae, thank you so much. I appreciate your input. I need to take a break. When we come back, more of this conversation. What are you willing to do in the wake of last week's tragedies to make a political and perhaps even an economic difference? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stay with us. Do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds.